Lord Jesus, you revealed your glory among the nations. We ask that you preserve the works of your mercy and that your church throughout the world may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
We're starting off with water. Wow. Lots of good singing this morning, boy. So I'll try to get this frog out of my throat and preach a good sermon for you, and we'll cut it down to about 45 minutes or so, since, you know, I may not be able to talk all that long. Goodness.
Amen.
All right. It's the only time I can get an amen out of him is when I say I'm preaching a short sermon. Wow. The Pharisees go to Jesus and they're trying to catch him again. And they ask him a question to which there can be no right answer in their minds. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should I do what this oppressive government tells me to do, or should I rebel and not do it at all? And they think they've got him, because if he says, well, you have to do everything the government says, then all of those, you know, people that are following him are going to have a fit. We don't want to, you know, we want a rebellion. We want the Messiah to come. We want this government to be thrown out. Remember, they've got, you know, all, this land is occupied, a foreign army, and they want them gone. So if he says we have to honor the government, then all of his followers are going to go against him. But then he says, or they think, you know, if he says we should rebel and throw out this oppressive regime that has occupied our land, then they can go to that very oppressive regime and say, hey, this guy is causing a rebellion. So they think they've got him either way. But as he is wanting to do, Jesus gives them an answer they don't expect. And he says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Give to God the things that belong to God. And you know what? The government says you got to pay the taxes, and the government says you got to do this or do that or whatever. Well, you know, that's the way it is. You know, they didn't have a system by which, you know, they could work and change that. You know, we live in a place where, you know, if you want to change things, you've got the opportunity to have a voice. You've got the opportunity to change things. You know, it's called voting. And I know it's not that simple, but still. Render to Caesar, or give to man the things that belong to him, and give to God the things that belong to God. Maybe that's a better way to say it. Now, they were very specifically talking about this Roman government. And we can talk more specifically about things like that as well. But the most important part of this is to give to God the things that belong to him. And so we need to give to God honor. We need to give to God glory. We need to give to God all the respect and certainly the love that he is due. And not worrying about giving it to man. Because, you know, what do we talk about all the time? If you live the right, you know, the Christian life the way you're supposed to, putting God first, putting his commandments first, honoring God, then that should spill over secondarily to how we treat one another, how we deal with one another. God first. Well, we're going to be starting off a series of talks here that are going to last us quite a while. And we're going to look at what's going on in this world around us. In particular, the issue of the attacks that are coming in our lives, in our Christian faith, from all walks of life and from all sides. We've talked about it before, and we're going to enter into a season of prayer and fasting at this place, where we're going to talk again and again about the spiritual warfare that is going on in the world today. Because Satan wants to get into your life and mess you up. That's his goal. That's his purpose. He does not want you to follow the living God. It angers him that we're here today praising, that we're worshiping God, that we're actually reading God's Word and trying to live according to the way God calls us to live. He doesn't like that. And he sends his demons, his dominion, to attack us. Now, some of this is coming from what's out in the theaters today. Has everybody heard about, you know, the whole Left Behind movie thing going on? Anybody read those books? Boy, I read those a long time ago. Yeah. Seems like a lifetime ago. Very entertaining. Well, what's going on in what that series of books is, it's about the return of Christ. It's about that doctrine called the rapture, where God comes and takes his elect back home with him. Now, there are many that don't believe that that's going to happen. And there are different biblical scholars. Some say it's going to happen and some say it's not going to happen, and they interpret Scripture differently. But the bottom line is, we profess every Sunday that Christ has died, Christ is risen. Christ will come again. He promised he would, and we know that Christ will come again, and we say it every single Sunday. And so, let's put the differences aside, whether you believe in the rapture or not, or in any of all that stuff. That's a whole other scripture study. But the reality is, Christ will come again. And for me, I guess it doesn't matter, if this particular thing's true or that or whatever. We know Christ is going to come again, and I want to be on the right side of heaven when that happens. You know, I don't want to be on the outside looking in. So if I'm raptured, that's fine. If there isn't a rapture and, Jesus just comes and he's hanging out with me, that's fine too. I want to be on the right side of that whole thing. And the way to do that is to honor God with what belongs to God, and that is every fiber of our being. But we all know that the devil will use various and sundry ways to get into our lives, to get under our skin, and to make us do things we don't want to do, to make us say things we don't want to say, to prevent us from doing those things that he would have us do. And we have to be able, through the power of Jesus Christ, through the presence of God in our lives, to put on the armor of God, as we're told in 2 Ephesians, let God be a shield about us, and to resist those temptations. Resist those attacks. Because they're coming, and they keep coming, and they keep coming. But we can do something about it, and it starts with rendering unto God. And that means putting God first in every aspect of our lives. That means making a commitment to pray, making a commitment to worship, making a commitment to be here in this Christian community with one another. This is a great source of strength and power with one another. I mean, we can't do it on our own. God calls us to be together. Do not forsake gathering together, we're told in Hebrews. But if we are going to resist any of these things out there, any of the attacks that Satan has for us in our life, we've got to do it through the power of God. Because you're not strong enough, I guarantee you. You can't do it. Can't do it. So we're going to be talking about these things. And I want to highlight something. I was actually reading in the news this morning, and this prayer that we have appointed for today, the 19th of October, is very appropriate. It says, We ask God to preserve His works that His church throughout the world may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of His name. And one example of this, and maybe you've seen these news reports, is that on several different news agencies, the Catholic bishops met in Rome. And there was all these news reports about how they're going to change the church's interpretation on gay marriage and their interpretation of divorce and remarriage and that kind of thing. Well, the reality is they didn't change anything. But what's all over the news is that they had this document presented which would change that. And that then all of the bishops were divided, and it's almost, you'd think that it was half on one side and half on the other, some in favor of gay marriage and some not. And the reality is none of that's true. And if you want to investigate this yourself, you can look at CNN and Fox and MSNBC and all that kind of stuff, and you've got to take every one of those reports with a grain of salt. I've looked at them all. The place to get the accurate information is from the Vatican News Service. Read the people that wrote it. And what you'll see is that everything you're seeing in these major news outlets is really distorted. They never sought to change anything. They're not so wholly divided that it's 55% on this side and what's the other number? 45% on the other side. I'm not a math guy. That's not the case at all. When you read the documents very specifically, what they produced, you know, they were in most cases, they were in 100% agreement on everything. In some cases, they didn't agree on the wording of one thing or another. And so you might have had 120 some say in favor of a paragraph and 40 some not in favor. I don't know what the numbers were. But they actually went through this document they produced paragraph by paragraph. And they voted on every paragraph. And one of the interesting things this Pope has done is that he is making that document and all of the votes public so that people can see exactly how it went. But what you'll see in the major news sources is that there's this great divide in the church and that they can't agree on anything and that kind of stuff. And no, not at all. They affirmed the traditional teachings of marriage. And they affirmed their doctrines on divorce and remarriage. Ours in the CEC are a little bit different than that. But the bottom line is that they have held steadfast, is the word in the prayer, they preserve with steadfast faith in the confession of what they believe. But all these attacks are going to come from different places. And people are going to tell you that there's, you know, all these sweeping changes coming. You know what? They may change. They may not. You know, that's them. We're us in the CEC. We are almost identical word for word in all of these teachings. You know, where we differ in the CEC is on the issue of divorce and remarriage and admitting people to communion. That's the big difference. That's it. We have the same teachings on the sanctity of marriage, a lifelong relationship between a man and a woman. They did not change that. What their language said was that they want their churches to be open to all persons, that all people are in need of the saving message of Jesus Christ, and that we as a church have to be more tolerant of people in, you know, different situations in life. We have to be more tolerant of gay people. Not that we're approving, but that we're more accepting, that we're willing to go, that we're willing to proclaim the gospel, that we don't look at a person and say that that person is so much different from me that I'm not even going to give them the time of day, or that person is in so much sin that I'm not even going to talk to them. And this is the kind of thing that they affirmed. This is the kind of thing that I believe is honoring God and rendering unto God what is God's. Because what the world is doing now is they're rendering unto Caesar. All of these, this, you read it in the news as well, all of these states that have overturned the ban on gay marriage. It's rendering unto Caesar. It's going with a culture. And it's not rendering unto God what is God's. Well, I tell you what, you know, the government can do whatever the government's going to do. We as Christians have to hold steadfast to our beliefs. And how we do that is by clinging to the promises of Jesus Christ. Knowing that we're going to get attacked. Because I've heard it from Christians, I've heard it from good people. Well, you know, I know so-and-so and, you know, he's such a good person. That's not the point. You know, that's not the point. There are a lot of good people that are trapped in various and different kinds of sin in the world. You know, and I would say we number ourselves among them. You know, we as the church don't stand up and say that's the worst sin. If it separates you from God, it is a bad thing. But the world would have us render to Caesar. The world would have us bow down to the pressures of different culture. And we cannot do that. We must stand steadfast in faith. That's why the CEC, you know, was formed in the pro-life movement. People standing steadfast in faith that stood up and said, "This is wrong." And I don't care what the law is, and I don't care what the culture is. You can't do that. And that's how this denomination was born 22 years ago. You've heard the story, you know, that all of our bishops are criminals. All of our bishops were arrested and put in jail. That's how they met, because they were protesting. They were at a pro-life rally in Los Angeles. You know, I often tease the bishop and say, you know, I'm working for a felon. Come on. Praise God, our bishop's been arrested and put in jail, huh? Amen. Standing up, steadfast in faith, and he didn't care what the consequences were because he knew that he was doing what God told him to do. Well, this is what we have to do at this place. We need to stand up against those things in this world that would attack our Christian faith. That would cause us to step back and say, well, you know, maybe that's okay. It's okay for them. It's okay for them. Maybe it's not for me, but it's okay for them. One of my favorites, I just hate this line. you know, talking about gay marriage, talking about abortion. Well, you can't regulate morality. Have you ever heard that? You can't legislate morality. Has anybody ever said that to you? Well, what do you think legislation is? If you can't legislate morality, then why are we saying that two people can be married, but three people can't? Because that's what the law is. Four people can't be married, but two people can. And now they want to change the two people to any two people instead of a man and a woman. And the argument is, well, you can't legislate morality. Well, that's exactly what legislation is. We legislate morality. You can't steal because it's against the law. It's immoral to steal. You can't have four, five, six wives. God help us. Now we got to save this. We got to save this here. So the comment is, I already have the perfect wife. So how would I ever want another one? Right?
Better say she's.
Yeah. There we are. Ching. Okay. There we go. Or I won't get pushed out of the car on the way home. It'll be one or the other. I don't know. But we've got to render unto God. We've got to put all of this garbage away and stop the politically correct whatever and know that we have to give to God what belongs to God. That's what it's all about. That's what these guys are doing here this weekend. You know what? If it wasn't about God, why be here? The food's good, but, you know, you come here sleeping here. I mean, come on. There's no Wi-Fi? Why would you come here? Huh? Oh, they had Popeye. That's a different story. So all of this to introduce the fact that we know we're in spiritual warfare. We know there's been a blanket hanging over this very community for years. We want, you know, we got a great thing going here, wouldn't you say? Those of you that are regulars here, this is a wonderful church. And we have stood in this very place over and over again over the years and wondered why we just don't get, you know, people from this community the way we think we should. And I believe it's because there's a blanket hanging over this place, that Satan's got a stronghold, that we are in spiritual warfare and we've been ignoring it. And I think we got to do something about it. And the first thing we have to do is pray. We have to ask God to be that shield about us, to give us strength and wisdom, to simply be our protection so that we can do what He's called us to do, live the way He wants us to live, and that as we live our Christian lives, that those out there that we know need the saving message of Jesus, that would somehow find their way to this place and walk in this door. That's what we got to do. To that end, you know, part of this came up, and I got to tell you, one of the places it came up through a commitment to prayer. We, every second Thursday of the month, we have a home fellowship prayer meeting out in Marshall. Bob and Marilyn host that. And at the last prayer meeting, we were talking and we kind of brought this whole subject up, that we really felt called to address this issue, particularly at this place, and to, you know, to start a commitment to pray. And guess what? One person said that and two other people in the room said, God's been telling me the exact same thing. And what came out of that was a commitment to fast and pray every Monday. Something practical. God gives us fantastic vision and guidance, but then always gives us a practical way to carry that out. If you have a fantastic vision and you don't have a practical way to do it, then you might want to think, "Yeah, is that really what God wants me to do? Maybe it is, but maybe, you know, I got to get there in a different way." But God gave us this vision and this message, and then gave us a very practical way to start this. And what we've committed to do, and what some are already doing, the Marshall Prayer Group, we're fasting on Mondays. And I'm going to invite all of you to join us in that. And you'll hear about that. You'll hear a reminder and everything. And you know what? If it can't be a Monday, pick a time during the week to fast for a day. Fast for half a day, but make it a spiritual exercise to pray God's shield and protection about us, to guide us through and to lift the veil of the spiritual warfare in this place.
Amen.
That's where we are. That's what we're doing. Because that renders to God what is God's. And then we don't just sit back here and say, you know what, this is great and it's great for all of us that want to come here. But if somebody else wants to go do something else, let them do it. That's a complacency that Jesus never told us to have. He said, go forth into all the world, preach the message of the gospel, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and I am with you always, says Jesus. And that's the key point. He didn't say, you go out and do this and let me know how it goes. I'll be over here having a Dr. Pepper. He never said that. He said, I am with you always. And then Paul in Ephesians gives us, you know, the way to go about doing that and putting on, you know, the armor of God, so that when we go out into the world, you know, you put on armor not in case you get attacked. You put on armor because you know you're going to get attacked. We're going to talk about all these things in the future. But right now what I'm inviting all of you to do is to fast with us on Mondays. And you know how we do it in Lent? You can do it that way, where somebody might fast from 6 a.m. to 6 at night, or, you know, the opposite 12 hours or whatever. However you want to do it. But give a spiritual exercise to God to join us in this. And I believe God will bless us. Because we've got a lot of work to do. We've got a lot of work to do in this world. And what we see in the news every day is proof of that. So there we are. Let's start rendering unto God all that is God's. Heavenly Father, Creator of light, source of life, You made us in Your image and You called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. I ask that You bless us this day. Bless those who contemplate this message, Lord. Bless them if they make that commitment, if they make the commitment to fast and pray for the benefit of Your church, to break the spiritual stronghold that is around this community so that we can reach out with the saving message of the gospel that will not be hindered, that will not be turned away. That we can truly offer the wonderful community of this Christian fellowship to those across the street, down the road, down the block. Father, help us to see those who You would have us reach. Father, help us to be a light in this world so that as we know the saving message of the gospel, that we can share that and be the vehicle that brings that message to others. All this we ask in the holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen.